In the third collect of today's Mass, the Church prays, O God, who for the glory of thy Church didst deign to decorate King Canute with the palm of martyrdom, grant, we beseech thee, that like as he was imitator of our Lord's passion, so may we, walking in his footsteps, merit to arrive at eternal joys. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I ran into a Jew once in the bathroom of Cincinnati Airport. I think I was on my way to France. And he was in an unusually good mood for a Jew who had just bumped into a bishop. Of course, this was before Bergoglio started serving catered kosher dinners in the Vatican. But he said to me, this Jew, this big man, this Jew did with a smile, he said, I'm going to the Holy City. And I thought to myself, why is he going to Rome? And then it occurred to me, oh, he means Jerusalem. It's a little bit like in Salt Lake City, if you ever pass through there. You'll hear snippets of conversation, and they're referring to the church. Only they don't mean the church. They mean the Mormon monstrosity with its many, many gods. Now, yesterday, I flew to Florida, and nobody would have thought it an especially religious destination. In fact, there was an elderly lady at the gate, and she wanted to know if I was going on a cruise, too. And I said, oh, no, I'm going down to give a retreat for the seminarians. And by the way, do please keep the seminarians and the priests that are coming to the retreat in your, and the preacher, too, in your good prayers. But would you have ever considered Florida as a religious destination? Well, yes, if you're coming here, but in itself, for most people, Florida equates fun in the sun, escape for weary bones from winter, which is now at its worst up north with snow and ice and sub-zero cold. It's a wonderful winter destination, isn't it? Even if you don't make it over to Mickey Mouse Land. For those who can manage a trip down here, let's go to the beach. Someone intoned that in a loud voice as soon as the plane landed yesterday morning in Tampa. Ah, yes, there's the beach and the question of dress and undress and all of the rest. I know some traditional Catholics who positively refuse to come here. And it is a worldly place, isn't it? And it carries, as countries with a warm climate do, its own built-in contradictions to Catholic life. Sometimes one thought the hardy Catholics up north were automatically more virtuous, because down here it just seems the living is easy, especially right about January. The Italians would call it dolce far niente, sweetly to do nothing, as though it's just not a serious place. But did you know that at Tampa Bay, you may walk, as we pray in this collect of today's Mass, you may walk in the footsteps of a martyr. And that if you are in Florida, you are in a land which was named by Catholics for one of the greatest Sundays of the Catholic Church year. And that this place is replete with glorious incidents of Catholic history. We could, and perhaps even should, I'm thinking, consider Florida as a holy land. Yes, I said that. In its own right. It was discovered by Ponce de Leon. I don't think he was especially holy. He was the first of the proud Spanish conquistadores. He landed here 501 years ago. According to an old tradition, it was the 20th of March, 1513, Palm Sunday. And according to the Spanish and the very Catholic custom, they named this place Palm Sunday. That's the meaning of Florida. Pascua Florida. Literally, the flowery feast day. Because for centuries, they would bless not only palms at the beginning of Holy Week, but flowers as well. And then the flowers would be intertwined in the palms for the procession. And palms, of course, abounded, as did flowers, in this peninsula. Ponce de Leon, before he left, the Indians were very hostile, set up a stone cross with an inscription, but no permanent colony settled here until the city of St. Augustine was founded in the north in 1565, and it was founded and so named because it was the 28th of August, the feast day of the great doctor of the church, Augustine. The actual landing, though, took place on Our Lady's Nativity, September 8th, and it was accompanied by great ceremony. The priest carried the cross in, then everyone solemnly came up to the cross and kissed it, and then an altar had been erected, and the solemn High Mass was sung for Our Blessed Mother's birthday. And the place, that place on the shore, has ever since been known as El Nombre de Dios, the name of God. And then after the solemn High Mass of Our Blessed Lady, followed the first American Thanksgiving. Yes, the first was in Florida, with the Catholics, the priest, after Mass. And the Indians, of course, it was Thanksgiving, they were indeed invited. And all of this took place decades before the bitterly anti-Catholic pilgrims, anti-Catholic persecutors, arrived at Plymouth Rock in November. Don't sing about those enemies of the church, or have your children do so. Know your history as Catholics, and as Americans, and indeed as Floridians. Later, many missionaries came here. The Jesuits came first, and then the Franciscan fathers, and they founded in the north, in the whole panhandle area of Pensacola, from St. Augustine over to Pensacola, about 44 missions. Later, unfortunately, the Protestant English came and destroyed most of them with fire and plunder and carnage and enslavement. But there are still records, and some glorious ruins can still be seen. Florida is the land, not of Mickey Mouse, but of martyrs, serious men who laid down their life full of the wine of charity for the love of God and of immortal souls. Now, who was the first to die in Florida? The proto-martyr, we would call him. Padre Luis Cancer de Barbastro. And where did he die? Not far from here. He died on the north shore of Tampa Bay. They say it's near what is today called Safety Harbor. This is a wonderful chapter in your history, and it should be known and taught and honored. Father Luis Cancer was a Dominican, and he was a disciple of the great Bishop Bartolome de las Casas, who stood up for and defended the Indians who had been enslaved, not by all, but by many of the Spanish conquerors, as only a cheap source of labor in the farms or in the mines. The Spanish called them dogs sometimes and treated them that way. No wonder they resisted the sweet yoke of the cross, because they had only known the lash of the whip. But there was another way. There was a peaceful way, which the order of preachers, rosary in hand, initiated in the New World. With the permission of Charles V, this great missionary, Fray de Concert, converted, in effect, all of Central America. He's the apostle of Guatemala. The Spanish had called it the land of war. But after he was finished with them, they renamed it. It was known as Vera Paz, true peace. And this was the system that this, you might call him musical missionary, our proto-martyr, employed. He enlisted the help of four Indians who were already Christians, and they were peddlers. They helped him to learn the Indian language. Quiche was the name of it. And he, having learned the language, composed, this Dominican did, a rhyming catechism in their own language. And then he set this rhyming catechism to music. And he taught the four peddlers how to sing it. They learned it by heart, and they learned how to sing it. And then they accompanied themselves with flutes, certain primitive instruments, which they use there in the mountains of Guatemala. When the peddlers have been thoroughly trained by the Dominican fathers, then Father Cancer sent them up into the mountains, and in their packs they had trinkets, perhaps even sacramentals, I don't know. But in any case, they had gifts, inexpensive gifts for the people. They distributed them, first of all, and the Indians were delighted with them. And then they started listening to the catechism, the sung catechism in their own tongue. And pretty soon, they started to ask the peddlers to explain what they were singing. People like to sing. They like to sing in their own tongue. And there's really nothing wrong with that. Did you know that the little flower, Saint Therese of Lisieux, composed many, many beautiful poems that were in effect prayers? And what the nuns would do at Lisieux, even though they were contemplative nuns, they would set the poetry to the popular music of the day, and then they would sing these poems during work, because they're working the laundry, or something like that. Well, when the peddlers were asked, what do these words mean of the catechism? They always answered, only the Christian priests, only the fathers can explain. They're kind and they're peaceful men. They're not like the conquistadores who have come before. They only want to teach you about the true God so you can be happy with him forever in heaven. So the Indians sent for the missionaries. And Father Cancer went up into the mountains after that prudent preparation, and they were converted. And the country became instead the land of peace. He was not satisfied, this Dominican father, in his zeal for souls, having converted the whole country. He went all the way back to Spain, and he asked the emperor, Habsburg, Charles V, for permission to pacify and convert the Indians of Florida, of northern Florida, who had a reputation for being somewhat more peaceful. He received that permission, and indeed a special dispensation to set free slaves. And he came with the orders written down in the decree of his permission that he was to go to the northern part of the east coast of Florida, where today is Jacksonville, St. Augustine. But he was betrayed by the captain of his ship, a certain Areno, who took him around to our side, to the Gulf side. And he was further traduced by the translator, an Indian woman named Magdalena. She had pretended to be a Christian. She went all the way to Spain. But when they arrived back in Florida, her job was to lead the missionaries to certain death. Knowing what was happening, like our Lord himself on Palm Sunday, who rode gloriously to die for our salvation, Father Cancer imitated Christ. Two of his Dominican confreres were martyred first, but this intrepid missionary, seeing that he had been betrayed, he would not betray Christ for the cause of souls. And rather than waste, this is how it's phrased, rather than waste the whole expedition, he went ashore to certain death, like the French fathers, the Holy Ghost missionaries, who were the first to go to Nigeria. One wave after another simply went there and died as missionary martyrs. But he, having prayed on shore, saw some Indians at a distance, went to greet them, and as he expected, he was clubbed to death. He's the first martyr of Florida, Father Luis Cancer. Florida really is well named. It's a Palm Sunday state, you know. Palm Sunday starts Holy Week, and at the start, especially if you've ever been to the Solemn Mass, it all seems triumphal and beautiful. There's this welcoming procession and bells and the blessed palms and the beautiful chant of the Hosanna. But where does the procession lead if not to the betrayal of Holy Thursday night, Judas, and to Good Friday's cross on Calvary? But these footsteps are the ones we retrace as Catholics each Holy Week, and indeed in the lives of our saints all year long. This is the only way any of us can manage to keep our palm in hand, fresh and green, the sign of victory. Florida, Pascua Florida, the flowery feast. Not a feast of the senses, not a feast for this world, please, no. But a feast that sets us following footsteps which will lead us, yes, in some sense, to our own martyrdom, and that every day, but finally to that destination where, as we pray, are to be found eternal joys. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of